the first 11 verses of chapter 3 in Philippians. The Word of God says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Let's pray. Lord, I'm so grateful for this time together where we can look at your word and we can see how the Apostle Paul viewed his life, how he looked at his life, and how he measured it with his relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would help us this morning to do this very same thing, to evaluate our lives, to examine our lives, to examine our accomplishments, to examine what is important to us in light of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would help us to be invigorated with the joy of knowing your Son, Jesus Christ. That we would understand how much better, how much more excellent it is to have a personal relationship with you than to have everything else this world has to offer. I pray, Father, that you would help us today to know you better. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31, we're encouraged to examine or judge ourselves. And the Bible says that if we judge ourselves, we won't be judged by God or the world as much. Okay? And so it's a good thing for us to examine our lives. It's a good thing for us to evaluate where we are in our walk with the Lord, to evaluate what we are striving for in our lives, to evaluate the accomplishments that we have made in our life. And I think as we do that, we will be able to get a better view or perspective of what we have seen God do in our lives and what we want to accomplish with our lives in the future. We see the Apostle Paul here examine his life and scrutinize his life in this passage. We see him scrutinize his life and then use his relationship and what he knows about Jesus Christ as his standard for what he really wants his life to be like and what he wants to spend his life doing. And I think that's something that we should do. He recalls all of his accomplishments and measures them up to God's standard and makes an assessment of his life. We should examine our lives using the scriptures today. Today, as we go through this passage, I would like us to examine ourselves to see if we are where God wants us to be. And as we do, I believe we will see a greater joy and purpose gained in our lives, and we can leave this place this morning with a joy, like Paul talks about here, in not what we have or haven't accomplished, but in our knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he wants to do with us. Now, look at verse 1 again. It says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, for to me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Now, Paul is writing these verses right here as a warning against the Judaizers. Now you ask, what are the Judaizers? Judaizers were Jewish people that had accepted Christianity as legitimate, but they also said that you needed to follow the Jewish law, the old Jewish law, as well. And in order to be right with God, you had to follow those laws. One of those laws was for men to be circumcised. Now, these Judaizers weren't really right with God. They weren't right with God. As a matter of fact, they were poisoning the true church of God. They were poisoning it. And oftentimes, the devil does his best work not with the people that are outside of the church, but the people that are inside the church. And so we see these Judaizers poisoning the church with their false teachings about what you had to do in order to be a Christian. And so Paul calls these guys dogs. He calls them dogs. Now, I call them glory hounds. And I'll tell you why I call them glory hounds. These guys were boasting about their Jewish lineage and saying, "You guys need to listen to us because we are the chosen people of God." That's what they were saying. "You've got to listen to us because we are the chosen people of God. We have a wonderful lineage." They're glory hounds. Why do you call them glory hounds, Bill? Well, have you ever seen a hound chase a deer or a raccoon? They go, "Arr! Arr!" When they get on a deer, they're going, "Arr! I got one! Arr! Look at me! I got one! Hey, I got one up the tree! Arr! Ain't I great? I'm doing great! Arr!" And they're just glory hounds, right? They're just showing off how wonderful they are at hunting raccoons or deer. They're glory hounds. And that's what these Judaizers were. That's why Paul calls them dogs. Says they're like dogs. They are poisoning you guys. And he says, "Hey, it's safe for me to warn you about these guys over and over again. You know, you may get sick of me warning you about these false teachers. But the Bible tells me that for me to warn you over and over again is not tedious. It's safe for you." Okay? It's safe for you. I don't want you to think that you need to do anything else for your salvation but accepting the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the payment of your sins and your eternal life. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to say here. He's trying to say, rejoice in Jesus Christ, in the work that he has done, and stop trying to do work to earn your salvation. The joy is in the fact that you don't have to earn your salvation, that you don't have to do other works to accomplish what Jesus Christ has already done. All you've got to do is put your faith in him and rejoice in him. That's the joy of Christianity. Don't let anyone rob you of that joy. Don't let anyone rob you of the joy of knowing that you are a child of God on your way to heaven simply because you put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what you need to remember. And don't let any dog tell you any different. Beware of these evil workers who want to tell you you need to do this or that on top of trusting Christ in order to be saved. Okay? That's false doctrine. Okay? Now, of course, you're going to want to live for the Lord, and we'll see that Paul says, hey, I want to live for the Lord. I want to know him and live for him because of what he's done, not because of what I've done. Okay? And that's what I want us to see. Not only that, I want us to understand that it is a joy to be a Christian. Paul said his joy was in the Lord. It was in the Lord. Now understand something. First of all, what is joy? Is joy like I took the kids yesterday and we went to Six Flags, okay? And they went on the Batman roller coaster. They came off the Batman roller coaster all happy. You know, they were happy. All big smiles. Wow, that was awesome. Wow, that was cool. You know, they came off the roller coaster happy. Was that joy? No. No, you know what joy is? Joy is knowing that if the roller coaster falls off the thing, off the rails and smashes on the ground and you die, you're going to be okay. That's joy, okay? That's joy, all right? And that's why I don't ride the roller coasters, okay? Anyway, well, because I don't have that much joy. No. But it is that, though. It is knowing that whatever happens, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be all right. I have that joy, that peace, that whatever happens in my life, it's going to be okay. That's the kind of joy that we're talking about. But that only comes in Jesus. That kind of joy only comes by knowing Jesus, by knowing who he is, by being able to rely on him so much and trust in his character and the idea that he never, ever breaks a promise, that he is going to do what he said he was going to do for you. That's where the joy comes from. It's knowing Jesus, who he is, that really gives you joy. That really makes the difference. When you're facing those difficult situations, do you know him? Do you really know him? Is that where your joy comes from? You know, so many Christians I see today are trying to gain their joy in the world instead of in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's a sad thing. Because the most miserable people in the world are Christians who are trying to seek joy in the things of this world. You know, I love hunting and fishing, okay? I do. I love hunting and fishing, and I love doing it. But you know what I've found? I can't find real joy in hunting and fishing. Even when I shoot a triple, okay, or kill a big buck. I like doing that. It makes me happy when I kill a big buck. But I don't really get joy, the joy that satisfies the soul out of that stuff. And that's what we need to understand. What is your source of joy? Or what are you shooting for to satisfy your soul, is what I'm saying here. That's what the Apostle Paul is trying to convey to us. What really satisfies the soul is knowing Jesus Christ. Not only that, we'll see later on in this passage that Paul was willing to be inconvenienced because of the joy he had in Jesus Christ. He was what gave him joy, he was willing to sacrifice everything for. He was willing to sacrifice his time, his talents, everything, his lineage, his past accomplishments. He was willing to sacrifice all that so that he could have this relationship that gave him this joy in Jesus Christ. Now, with that said, what do you focus your abilities, your time, your talents, what do you focus them on? Now, obviously, some of us would say, well, I focus them on my family because family is important to me. That's great. Okay? But shouldn't we be focusing some of our time and our talents and our abilities towards Jesus Christ and towards this joy of knowing him? You know, I was talking to the guy who brought the Yet team here this week, Kevin Skiles. Kevin and I and his wife and Christy, we went to college together, and he's been teaching music in a Christian school that runs about 700 students down in Tampa, Florida, for 17 years now. And one of the things that he said to me was, Bill, you would not believe how these Christian families are going absolutely crazy over sports. Of course, he's a music teacher, and he wants kids to focus on music, and they're completely occupied with sports. But his point was well taken. There are people who will bring their children every single day, morning and evening, before and after school, to soccer practice or football practice or basketball practice or baseball practice, without fail, every single day, and be inconvenienced to the max for that stuff. So little Johnny can learn how to put a ball in a hoop. But to get him to Sunday school? Oh, come on now. You know what I'm saying? Well, think about that for a minute. Here's what's happened. People have lost their source of joy. Christians are losing their source of joy. They're saying, my joy is in these sports things, or my joy is in seeing my little Johnny be able to play sports. Okay? Now, I love sports. My son loves sports. But we're not going to sacrifice our joy in Jesus Christ on the altar of sports. And I'm afraid that's what a lot of Christians are doing. They are willing to spend their time and talents and all their abilities towards these sports, And yet, they're not willing to have devotions with their family. Make sure their children are in Sunday school and Bible studies. Make sure their children hear the Word of God preached. These are the things that bring real joy, and we're forfeiting them when we put aside Jesus for some of these other things. It's really about perspective and priorities. And that's what I think we're going to see here as we look at this. We need to put things in perspective. One thing that Kevin said that puts it all in perspective is exercise profits little, right? And he said most of the families in our Christian school have forgotten that it only profits a little, okay? And so we've got to keep things in perspective. And I think that's what this does. And I hope as we go through this passage, I hope as we do examine ourselves, that that's what happens, is we get this right perspective about our lives and what we should be striving for in our lives. Look at verse 3 again. It says, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless." Now, in order to examine our lives, we must ask ourselves, how will the people I associate with affect my relationship with God? Now, the Apostle Paul is making it clear that he wants us to associate with the people who worship God in spirit. Okay? Now, as a contrast, the people who are worshiping God based on their lineage or their own works, these are the kind of people we don't need to be hanging out with. These are the kind of people we don't need to be gaining spiritual influence from. Not that they might not be a friend or an acquaintance, but these are not the people that should be giving us our spiritual influence. Now, our lineage does not affect our relationship with God. That's clear from this passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul says, hey, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews from the tribe of Benjamin. If anybody could boast about his lineage, it's me. But he says, nope, I'm not going to do that. So it shows us a simple principle here. Just because your mom and dad are good Christians doesn't mean you're on your way to heaven. Understand that as well. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to have that and maintain that relationship, okay? Paul was from the chosen people of God, yet that did not matter. Our relationship with God will affect the people I associate with, however. Understand that. Now, if I have a right relationship with God and I am gaining my joy in knowing Him, I can be a good influence on others. That should be a motivating factor for us to read our Bible, to know the Lord, to set our priorities straight, so that we can be that good influence on other people. Verse 3 says that the people to be associated with are those who worship Christ in the Spirit. Now understand that. A lot of people, they have a ritualistic form of worship. Okay? You may have been in churches like that or met people like that. If you were to ask them what worship is, They would say, well, it's when you go in and you take some holy water and you spray it on yourself, and then you do this, and then you kneel down. And I'm not saying that someone couldn't worship God in the Spirit while performing those things. What I'm saying is that those things are not worship. Some may say, and someone in here may even say, well, worship to us is when the praise team comes up and we stand up and we sing, and then we sit down and we stand again. That's not worship in the Spirit. And of course, we talked about this a few months ago, but let me reiterate. Worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, that's what we're supposed to be doing, right? Is us with a grateful heart praising God for what he has done for us. Okay? That's what worship is. Okay? That's where the joy comes from. And that's the way we should look at worship. Not as a set of things necessarily that we do. Okay? Now, our worship can also be living for the Lord. And of course, this passage tells us that Paul was wanting to live for the Lord and follow him. But we need to understand that worship is not in necessarily the performance of rituals. Okay? Now, I want us to remember that the people we want to really have influence our lives spiritually are the ones who are worshiping God in spirit. Because that's who you want to be like. Okay? You know, when I was in high school, I wanted to be a jock. So I hung out with the jocks. Okay? I like playing basketball and baseball and football. So I hung out with those kind of guys. Okay? And you know, if you went to high school, you know there was different social groups, right? You had the jocks. You had the geeks, right? You had the dope heads, right? there was all kinds of social groups. So, you know, whatever one you fit into, whatever one you wanted to be like, that's what you hung out with, right? I went over them last night in my head, and I forgot a couple of them. You can tell me after the service what other social groups there are in high school. But anyways, oh, the punks, right? Of course, this was the 80s. But, you know, the punks, you know, the kids with the spiked pink mohawk and stuff like that, right? So if you wanted to be like that, you hung out with them, okay? Well, it's the same with us. Some of us have lost our mohawks, right? Okay, so. Anyway, so if you wanted to be like them, you hung out with them. Well, we want to be like those who worship Jesus in the Spirit, right? So who do we hang out with? Those who do that. That's what we ought to do. And that's what Paul's telling us here. Don't hang out. Don't let those people influence you that aren't worshiping the Lord in spirit. And then it says, in order to examine our lives, my third point is this. In order to examine our lives, we must ask ourselves, how do the things I strive for match up to the marvelous blessing of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You know, Paul's moral and religious life would probably exceed anyone we know, but he counted it for nothing when he experienced the life he had in Christ. Think about that for a minute. So many people put their religious experience, what they call spiritual, on what they have or have not done. I've never committed adultery. Oh, I don't lie anymore. You know, stuff like that, right? We put our focus on, you know, or our joy in our spiritual relationship on what we have or have not done, okay? I want you to understand something. Although we want to live righteously, and Paul says, hey, I've taken on the righteousness of Christ, okay? He's trying to follow the Lord in righteousness, but he's got a different perspective about it now, right? His joy comes from the fact that his righteousness is not based on what he has done or hasn't done, but his righteousness is based solely on who Jesus Christ is. That really makes the difference. And it really just changes the whole way he thinks. The whole way he thinks about his religious experience has now changed because of that. Think about that. He used to be the guy that had to keep every jot and tittle of the law. He was the guy who was so zealous about this, for anyone to impugn this in any way meant they needed to die. That's what we see here in the Apostle Paul. His whole mindset changes now. Completely different train of thought now about what the religious experience is all about. And I want us to understand what the true religion is all about. It's about knowing Jesus, about gaining joy from him, about taking on his righteousness and looking at my righteousness as filthy rags, about looking at that joyful relationship with him in such a way that all my accomplishments and everything else doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. I think oftentimes, as a preacher, I fall into the trap of thinking, okay, if I accomplish such and such, I'll be looked at as a great man of God. That's not the way the Apostle Paul looked at his life. It's not the way. He said, you know what? I've accomplished all these things, but doesn't matter a bit. Just let me know Jesus. Just let me know Jesus, and everything else is whatever. That's what he's saying here. And I love it, because that's what gives you the joy. Understand something. If you are trying to accomplish your own joy in your religious experience, you're never going to be satisfied. It's never going to happen. Release yourself from all that and just look at Jesus Christ and gain joy from who he is and what he's done for you. Okay? That's what really counts. And it will totally change your whole mindset. When I first became a Christian, I would look at the guys in the church and I'd say, okay, I guess he's the number one guy in charge, and wow, look at him, and wow, look at this guy. And then when God called me to preach, I was like, God, I can't. Those guys are awesome. I'm nothing. Okay? We don't have to. All that thinking that I just spewed out was like garbage thinking. Paul calls it rubbish. Okay? He calls it rubbish here. That's rubbish thinking. Forget that. That's not what Jesus is all about. That's not what your religious experience should be all about either. Okay? So, remember that. And in order to examine our lives, we must ask ourselves, who controls the way I act? And that is what I want you to understand. Look at verse 9, and then I'm done. Verse 9 says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. That's what I want us all to understand. Paul looked at all of his accomplishments. This guy was holy, blameless. This guy was zealous for the Lord. This guy had a great lineage. Yet, that was all rubbish. What he really wanted and what he really found joy in was when he took on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's what we should gain our joy from. Now, we ought to want to do our very best for the Lord. But we ought to do it because of who he is and what he's done for us. Not to gain some accomplishment or joy from some religious accomplishment. Okay? That's what I want us to see. The real joy of Christianity is knowing Jesus Christ and taking on his righteousness. How do we do that? Well, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you say, Lord, I want to put my faith in you and your death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of my sins and you alone so that I can have eternal life. That's how you start this joyous relationship. I'll never forget the day I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I left the church door feeling like the weight of the world had been lifted off of me because all my sins were washed away and the guilt had been replaced with peace. That is the beginning. But as Christians, as we go along in our walk, sometimes we lose focus or we let someone influence us in a way that robs us of that joy. And we've got to re-examine our lives and re-examine what gives us joy, re-examine what we're spending our time on. Are we spending it on that relationship with Jesus Christ that really gives joy, or are we messing around with other things? And so as we examine ourselves today, where are you today? Are you gaining your joy from knowing Jesus Christ? And is your life showing that? Are you spending time with Jesus? Are you taking on his righteousness? Or are you giving in to other influences that may say, you know, you need to do this and this and this as well if you're going to be right with God. And I hope we don't fall into that trap. I hope we understand that being right with God is gaining joy from him, knowing him, and our lives will follow with that. Our lives will. When we take on the righteousness of Christ, our lives will fall in line because we'll have the right perspective like the Apostle Paul did.